Blog Talk Radio.
Johnny, I can't hear you. Am I on? I think you dropped my call. I will have to try to call back because I'm not hearing anything.
Okay. I think we were having some technical problems. So let me see here. I think I got disconnected. Let me go see somebody here. Barbara, if you're listening, it's okay to call in. Give me 1 second here. Okay. My God. Okay, give me one moment, please. I'll take care of it, everybody. Okay, give me 1 second here. We weighed you in.
Hi there. Are we on air?
Yes, we're on the air.
Hi, everybody.
Yes.
And sorry for the rocky beginning.
I guess we'll be here in about 10 minutes.
I know. I'm very excited to interview Miss January 2004. And she's also Playboy's 50th anniversary playmate. And I
right.
remember that time well. DJ Colleen Shannon. DJ Colleen Shannon. How interesting is she traveling around the world? Doing all these events.
But not only is she a playmate, but she's a playmate for a special year for Playboy. Am I right about that?
Yes, but I did just announce that. I said she's Playboy's 50th anniversary, playmate.
Sorry, okay. I mean, I guess I'm a little bit dazed from the tech stuff. But
that's okay. I just was saying I remember that time very well because the 50th anniversary was a very big deal, and we had this huge event in New York City, and I was a jet bunny for that event, and there was a lot of Playboy bunnies and playmates in the bunny costume, so it was all playmates. We flew out to New York and had this huge, wonderful event. They did it in a warehouse. They put up all of this decor, and it was all the Playboy Playmate centerfolds. It was like wallpaper everywhere, and it was fun to just pick yourself out and say, oh, yeah, there I am. So that was cool, and I got a lot of great pictures, and it was really great. And then I did the 60th anniversary. That was a while ago, too. So she's been a Playmate for a number of years, and doing a great job for Playboy, has been such a great ambassador for the company because I was watching her YouTube and she said, you know, I never thought I could make a living doing this, DJing. The whole Playboy brand and just being a part of that just helps people so much because look at her now. She's traveling internationally, booked constantly, and she by far her goal of doing it for a living. So it should be interesting hearing all about how this happened for her. And that is lucky to be a special playmate, a 50th anniversary, because you're playmate of the year, basically. But on top of that, you are an anniversary playmate. So that was really cool. And that is a huge honor.
And I'm curious, you know, do certain months get associated with certain things? Because I remember you telling me that if you're December, you love the fact that you're December or something. December was something special, you know?
Yes, like, it is. It's an anniversary issue. And it's not that you are the anniversary playmate. They don't call it that, but they call the issue the anniversary issue. The January one is called that, and my issue, December 92, and for all Miss Decembers, that is called the Gala Christmas issue. And why I liked it so much is because it sold 2 more million copies than the other months. I don't know about January, but probably up there too. But the Christmas issue was always something that was special. People would buy it for a Christmas gift for somebody, buy a whole subscription for somebody. I was booked for Christmas parties. You have no idea, because all the Christmas, all the companies out there who are doing big Christmas parties, they want to have the December Playmate. So I did a lot of that, and it was lucrative. Plus, it was fun. Traveled a lot doing that. And it's just a special issue. They usually have a very high-profile person on the cover. My cover had Sharon Stone on it, and she was the hottest actress at the time. She just had done Basic Instinct. So that was a very good issue to be in, because everybody wanted to see Sharon Stone in Playboy. And then they got me, too. So it was cool. Yeah. You remembered. That's great that you remembered that, Johnny.
So you were in the issue that Sharon Stone was on the cover?
Yes. December 1992. And she's inside, too.
Did you ever meet Sharon Stone?
No, I did not. And, there's another person in my issue, too, that she's passed away now. Betty Page, one of the most iconic pinups of all time. So that was a big seller. And I did meet her, and she was at the Playboy Mansion, I believe, in her 90s. And she was very old and feeble, but it was so cool to actually meet her, because she's definitely an icon. So my issue had a lot of great people in it, didn't it?
Yeah.
I have a large collection of Playboys, too, because I got my ex-boyfriend had a lot of them before I became a Playmate, a lot in the 80s, and then the ones before me in the 90s. And then I got to start collecting them because Hef gave all the Playmates a lifetime subscription to Playboy. And after he passed away, that went away. And I thought, you know what, they should have honored things that he promised us. And that's why a lot of us don't really know what's going on. Although there is not a paper copy anymore, but we don't even get the digital subscription. So that was a letdown. But in the meantime, though, before that all went down, I collected so many Playboys. I will always have to have a storage unit because of my Playboy collection. And I have doubles of a lot, too. So eventually I could sell those.
Okay. Now, let me see. It's been about 9 minutes.
Well, she's going to call in, and it's only been 8 minutes, and she said she has the number, and she's calling in after 10 minutes, after we start the show.
I also told her that if it was busy to let me know, so, yes.
Okay, good. And so I'm looking at my magazine right now, because I have autograph dealers are just wanting the Playmates to sign a lot of stuff, because everything online is booming, and so I have a bunch of my stuff in front of me I was signing. Gala Christmas issue. Oh, the new Jessica Hahn. Jessica Hahn was in my issue. That was a big draw. Let's see. Betty Page, legendary pinup. Betty Page, Penn and Teller, and Sharon Stone shows her Basic Instincts in a bombshell Playboy interview. I love the Playboy interviews. They were really good. Very in-depth. I've learned a lot from reading Playboy interviews and enjoy those a lot. Yeah, I suggest that. I highly suggest it. You know what? If you have your Playboy issues like I do, go back to them, read them. They're good. And like you said, I always wondered, everybody laughs about, I get Playboy for the articles. Well, a lot of people did, though, with the bonus of the women, but the articles, Hef was really into writing himself. He was very a man of the arts and literature, and just, you know, exposing a lot of things and interesting things. And so go look at your past Playboys and start reading. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask Colleen that same thing, because I know that some people, you can go years and years. Here's my issue. Did you ever read your own issue?
Let me see.
Cover to cover, have you?
No.
And that's an interesting question. And do you know who's in your issue? I've never asked anybody that, and I think I will.
Okay,
great. Well, now it's 5:10, so we should be hearing from Colleen.
Yeah, we should, because you know, we should. I know she's getting my text messages, I know, so.
Great. Well, we just talked to her. She just has things to do, and her life has changed. She has I know that she has a 3-year-old child. Maybe she has more, I'm not sure.
Okay, I think this is her. Give me 1 second here.
Great.
Oh, wait. Wait, give me here. Okay, you're trying.
Waiting. Okay.
Try again.
Okay, everybody. Johnny is going to connect our guest. It's January 2004 for Playboy magazine.
Okay.
Playboy's 50th anniversary Playmate, the world's sexiest DJ, by the way.
Are you there, Colleen?
Hi.
Hi, Colleen.
Hi.
Welcome
How
to
are
the
you
show.
Guys? Thank
we
you.
We are great. Yeah. Wow. It's so good to have you on. And I think that your life has changed, because you were mentioning you have a little 3-year-old. So we're going to get into all of that and how your life is evolving. And, you know, that's going to be fun to get to know more details about you. I have always thought of you as a real go-getter, a playmate that stands out as somebody who is highly successful. So let's introduce you and give you a proper introduction.
Oh, thank
we
you.
We have today Miss January 2004 and Playboy's 50th anniversary Playmate, also known as the world's sexiest DJ, Colleen Shannon. How are you?
Hi, guys. I am doing so good. Very good.
Okay, good.
I'm pregnant with my second right now.
Oh, congratulations.
So, yeah. Thank you. I'm having another son. And
wow.
That actually is more of a motivator than anything that I've had in my whole career.
I can imagine. It changes you. It changes a lot of things. Like, does it change the way you look at the world and how you think?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Absolutely. You want to make sure that the world is, you know, set up for your child to go out and, you know, be prepared for greatness. You know, there's a lot of stuff
exactly.
going on right now. So
it's challenging.
All debatable.
The thought
yeah.
of that is, it's a lot. It's a lot on a mom or a parent to have to take the weight of the world. And here, I'm bringing you into the world. There's a lot going on, and it's very serious stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be good, though. You've got an amazing head on your shoulders, and we want to find out what makes you tick. Our first question we start off with this question, Colleen, because it is the question that I have always gotten the most, and it is, how did you become a Playboy Playmate?
I was determined. I would literally, when I was like a teenager, I would have a Playboy magazine in front of the mirror, and I would do my makeup and my hair and try and emulate that Playboy image. And I was just, I loved Playboy so much. And I had actually tried out for Playboy a handful of times. And it just wasn't the timing
really?
Wasn't right. And I think, like, mm-hmm. with life, I think it's, you know, in life, like, it's like that as well. You know, if you really want something, you go after it. And it just, it wasn't my time. It wasn't my time the first time. the second time, the third time, and then Hef ended up choosing me as the 50th anniversary playmate, and it was like, it all like totally made sense to me, and I was like super thankful that it hadn't worked out in the past.
Exactly, but that's crazy though that you had tried,
yeah.
and you must have been feeling, wow, this is unbelievable. I'm trying and trying and trying. And then you become the special 50th anniversary. I mean, that is amazing. Do you think that he was saving you for that, kind of in the back of his mind?
I don't think it was
about timing?
Mm-hmm. I think it was like, it was luck and timing. And like, I'm a firm believer in like what you want in life. Like if you want it bad enough, you will eventually get it. So I had tried being in like the DJ edition, and that didn't work out for me. I had tried like a scouting where they came into like a city, and my best friend got the special editions, and I didn't get them. And I still like went to the Playboy Mansion and visited her. So I don't know. I think it was just like Hef had seen me, but I just don't think the timing was right.
Yeah. That's crazy. You never let that get you down.
I really didn't. Like, I got really serious with my acting when I moved to LA. I got serious with acting and modeling. I got some really good jobs. And then and when I met Hef, I had just told him, like, you know, my passion for, like, work and, like, my drive and stuff like that. And I think that he thought that was a little bit different than, you know, most of the girls coming in. And, you know, I just lucked out with that one.
That means so much to him, though, because it's the personality, too, and the work ethic. It probably really impressed him. But how old were you at the time when you talked to him and then it clicked with him and he's like, this girl is beautiful and special?
I had met him at, I think I met him at a nightclub once, and his security asked if I would pass my number on to him. And I was dating this soap opera actor he's on Dancing with the Stars this season, actually. His name is Jesse Metcalf. And I was in his kitchen, and Hef called me, and I'm like, hello? And he's like, hello, this is Hugh Hefner. And I was like,
oh, no
whoa.
Way.
And and I'm like looking at Jesse like, this is the craziest probably phone call that I've ever had in my life. And Hef was like, you know, I could be very interested in you, and we have a bedroom for you here at the mansion if you'd like to be one of the girlfriends. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And some of the girls, they end up like dating Hef or, you know, going and staying at the mansion. And I really kept my professional distance with him, which I think is very few and far between.
I think that was good. That was really good decision because you ended up as a playmate.
Yeah.
And some don't.
Yeah.
Who are the girlfriends. Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, I love this story. I mean, how old were you?
Oh,
you know, I know the main age for a playmate but statistically is 23. I was 24. So how old were you?
Yeah, I think I was 24. 24 also when I think I had tried when I was, you know, 21, maybe like 19, 21, 22, and it was just like, Not the time yet.
Yes,
but
sometimes your face evolves a little bit, you know, because I know when I was 18, 19, I looked much different when I was 24 than that. I mean, I still had such baby fat cheeks. I just, you know, the sex appeal hadn't come through yet, you know. So I get it. I totally get it. So where were you from, though? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Alaska, like pretty much he was with Holly at the time I became a playmate. So we were both from the islands in Alaska, the Aleutian Islands and the Panhandle.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I grew up in Alaska, like a very, very small town girl. I mean, there wasn't even any cars, elevators, escalators, nothing, like a tiny little island.
I know what you're talking about.
When?
My dad lived in Petchan, Alaska. My dad lived in Ketchikan.
Okay.
I worked in the Sandy Cannery up there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You did?
I've heard of it.
You worked
in?
Oh, my
God. I did, yes. Yeah. I did when I was 16, and I made a lot of money when I would visit my dad in the summer. He was a bush pilot, so we'd fly. I mean, it was just such a wonderful life and fishing. I didn't know you were from there. That is totally cool.
Yeah, that is awesome.
But they still have TV. And they still have Playboy magazine, you know, delivered.
Yes, they did. But, yeah, we were drinking powdered milk and Tang. Like, we couldn't get any fresh fruit, any fresh juices. It was like...
Oh, yeah, you don't see cows there. No. You know, people don't think about these things, do they?
No, not really.
And is your family still up there?
I've got a nephew who still lives up there. I'd like to go back and visit, actually.
Oh, yeah. Those are your roots. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here you come. And was that impressive to have or interesting to have that you were from Alaska, or did it not matter?
Yeah, I think he was interested. I think it interested him a bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then when you were trying out for Playboy, moved to L.A., did you do the Polaroid test?
Yeah.
Not the time you made it, but
sorry,
yeah, okay. So, wow. I can't even believe anybody would do that, Colleen.
Yeah. I remember that, like, so vividly that Marilyn Grabowski in the office, she's like, okay, we're going to go back and test you. And and then you take the Polaroid and they literally drive it up to the mansion, like, right then. And you kind of wait around for like an hour or two for have to call back and say, keep her in the studio or just let her go. And when I just remember it so vividly that she's like, this is going to be your home for the next 2 weeks. And I was like, it was like a dream come true. I was so happy.
So, wow. Okay. That was the time that you did make it. And that was after you got the phone call from Hef for a date, or not just a date, to move in. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
The first time you talked to him, well, maybe not the first time you talked to him because you had been up at the mansion for parties, but I mean, really connecting with him for the first time, and this guy is asking you to move into his home. But he had a room for
you.
I
don't think he realized every time that I was like the same girl. I think he was, you know, he sees hundreds of girls, you know, weekly all the time. So I think that maybe something was clicking like in his subconscious, like he knows me or knows my face. But I don't even think till this day he would have known that it was that girl and that girl and that girl, like all the same time.
Yeah, and you're not going to say, oh, by the way, I tried out before and I didn't make it. You know, you're not going to offer that information, are you?
No, you just said
I wouldn't.
You. Hi.
I know, but I always saw all the Polaroids. I saw the Polaroid day set up, you know, when I was shooting my layout, and I'd see them. I asked, what is that? I mean, they have it set up really nice. You know, it's like a platform, the shield. It's good lighting, but still, I thought, why would they, you know, put themselves in that situation where maybe the Polaroid is going to turn out bad? And that's their chance, you know? I mean, why wouldn't you want to go take some photos with a photographer and send in photos that you knew were awesome? I always wondered that. And tell me why.
Oh, your photos are so beautiful, though. You are definitely, like, the classic Playboy look.
Oh, thank you.
I love your photos.
Thank you. But I had a photographer send them in. I had a photographer send in photos that I knew were good. And they didn't send in retouched photos or anything. They sent in slides so that Playboy would know this has not been edited whatsoever. So I think that helped.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we had actually, I was on a movie audition and a manager ran out and was like, hey, like, you know, who are you? What do you want to do? And I'm like, my only two goals at the time were to become a Playmate and to become a DJ. And he's like, okay, we can work with that. And then I was shooting in the studio, and he's like, you know, you're going to have to trust me, but, like, I want you to shoot with your turntables, but, you know, I want you to be topless or I want you to be naked. And I was like, it was really weird for me. And then he didn't tell me that he sent the pictures into Playboy.
Well, that doesn't seem okay.
Well, he sent them into Playboy, and then they called and said, you know, we're interested in calling, coming in and testing for the 50th anniversary Playmate. And he's like, you know, she's really busy. I don't think she can make it. And they were going like, what the heck are you talking about? And he kind of played a little, like, psychology game with them. And,
oh,
you know, it was,
that was
all
risky.
part of the, yeah, it was interesting. So,
well,
yeah,
that's
that
good.
Was
it turned
thing.
Out really good, though. But what, if it didn't
yeah.
turn out for you and you found out that he did that without you knowing, without you seeing the photos, then maybe you wouldn't have been too happy. But it all worked out good. And I've never even heard a story like this. I love this story. And I'm looking at your centerfold right now. Yeah. I'm looking at your 2004 January centerfold, and it is really gorgeous. I mean, how lucky are you that you get to have your basic career theme in your centerfold?
You know, it's funny.
It was
the biggest comment.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me, every time we have a Playmate on, how it's like almost like a kid, the male equivalent would be like a boy with Michael Jordan's picture on the wall or something, because they want to be a Playmate. Now, I have a question. Was there a Playmate that was sort of like that with you? You know how it is sort of like with a kid who wants to be a basketball, obviously he's going to have Michael Jordan's picture on his wall. Was there a Playmate that you looked, oh, God, and you wanted to follow the footsteps?
I mean, I was definitely at the time obsessed with Pamela Anderson and obsessed with Victoria Silvstedt.
Yeah.
Yeah, those
did you
two
ever meet
were
them?
Like, ugh. Did I meet them? Oh, yeah. I was actually shooting in the studio with Victoria when Playboy had called. And I think my manager kind of used that, like, as leverage a little bit. But then I met Pamela, too. I was like, it was just all a dream. Like, those years at Playboy, it was just, like, so fun. Like, Anna Nicole Smith running around and talking to Pamela Anderson and then Jenny McCarthy. It was just, like, such an epic time of Playboy, I feel like.
Yes, and you are so nice to say, like, my era, the early 90s, you mentioned something from my year, and then Nicole Smith in 1992, and you stick out. I'm reading all of the Playmates in your year, and not, I mean, a couple of them are nice and reach out to me, but you have the most of all. And thank you for that.
Really?
It's so sweet. You're, yeah, yes. You like my things on Instagram. You are
yes.
a presence. Yes.
Oh, you're
thank
sweet.
You.
You're sweet. I just,
yeah.
I love people. Like, the reason why I do what I do is it's about the art and the photography, but really, like, I just love people, and I love, like, connecting with like-minded people.
And it's your passion.
That's how
people and music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And music, I swear, that moves people. So it's a great combination. And that's your passion. I've watched your YouTube videos, and it is your passion to go out there, make people happy, get them revved up, play some good stuff, get them dancing. I mean, that must be a real rush.
So fun. Literally, like, the scariest and most rewarding thing I've ever done besides being a mom was, like, being a DJ, because I was afraid, like, I didn't want to play for more than 100 people, and within, like, 3 or 4 months, I was playing for 5,000 people after shooting my centerfold, and I was like, I can't believe this is happening.
Wow. I know.
Yeah,
I heard you in a
wild.
Little interview, too. I heard you on a little interview on YouTube saying, I never dreamed that I could do this for a living, and you were doing it for a living plus more, and then traveling internationally. Where all have you been to do your shows at clubs?
Gosh, I mean, just to give you, like, a quick, like, roundabout, I mean, I was in Paris, South Africa, China, Norway, Switzerland, Every place in Canada, every place in the United States,
wow.
just about every place in Mexico. I had a couple passports,
wow.
and then I had to get extensions in my passports because I was going out of the country like 3 times a month.
Wow, that is
and
a
it's
lot.
Really
and
due
was
to
it Playboy?
Playboy? Like,
booking
it was,
you?
I mean,
were they booking you?
No, I was. That actually made Playboy really mad was because I didn't sit around and sign autographs for a year. Like, I just hit my career. Like, it really was a springboard to start my career, and I'm so thankful for that. But no, I just went,
yes.
like, strictly professional, like, DJing.
Oh, that's wonderful. That really is a testament to the Playboy brand, how powerful they are. I mean, I'm sure you're really good, but... that's a big jump in numbers after your centerfold
yeah,
comes out.
No,
and yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then do you get nerves anymore before you go on? But nerves are good sometimes. It gives you an adrenaline rush, and you sometimes are better.
Oh, yeah. I still, like, that's how I know that I love it, is I still get that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That feeling. That's an addictive feeling, isn't it? That adrenaline rush.
It is, yeah. And when it stops, it's like, oh, my gosh, I know something is wrong when I'm not, like, practicing, like, DJing. I'm like, if I don't touch my turntables for a few months, I know that, like, mentally I'm probably not very
how
happy.
How often do you DJ? How often
right.
do you DJ? Do you have a place where you go to DJ?
Well, I've got – I have my setup, like, to practice, but – right now I'm doing, like, quarterly. I would say quarterly. Like, I'll do a big New Year's thing. I did something in the Bahamas last year. I'll do something, like, in New York, like a Vanity Fair party
mm-hmm.
or something. So I do less events, but they're bigger events right now. So,
good.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. The world is
I have a good
I... right now.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I have a major question. I'm so curious, how many people do you have to take? That's a lot of equipment. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not a lot of equipment. I don't know what it entails and what you have to do for prep. Tell us about that.
Well, I got to a point where, you know, things went digital. They went from records and vinyl to, you know, you could have 20,000 songs on your laptop. So I got to a point where I would either bring, like, 3, like, supermodels and playmates and a manager, like a small entourage, or then sometimes I would just bring my best friend, or sometimes I would bring a makeup artist. And, yeah, bringing a best friend to, like,
wow.
Saint-Tropez was, like, we would go and we would always stay, like, an extra week. So
okay, so there was money that you would say, hey, I'm making a good amount of money, I want to bring you. Would you have to put the bill for them?
No, they have, like, in your artist writer, they give you all the equipment, so you don't have to bring your equipment except for your music and your headphones and your records. And then I had an extra ticket included, so I always got to bring in another person.
Oh, perfect. Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. I remember I got booked for a DJ, to be a DJ on a cover of a magazine, and I just assumed it was like a radio DJ. I had no idea. I just showed up thinking that I had no idea what it was for. And I'm like, well, what?
Mm-hmm.
What is this? I mean, this was so long ago, Colleen. I didn't even know what that you guys were called this. Okay, they're the ones up there.
Yeah.
They mix the music. They change it around. They've got their playlist. And, you know, here I was, they braided my hair. I looked, you know, pretty cool.
Oh,
on the cover. I liked
that.
It.
You have
okay.
to say that.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
Okay. I will. You probably were on the cover of that many times, and you probably were in it. So I will send it to you after the show.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
And what do your parents think of all of this? Because I always ask the playmates, I mean, they're so young, they still care about what their mom and dad thinks, most of them. When they do Playboy,
yeah.
were you afraid to tell them, or
right.
were they proud of you?
No, I was. My mom was so old school that she knew that I sounded really excited about it, but she's so naive that she did not even know what Playboy was. She's like, that's great. What is that? And I was like, oh my gosh, my mom was from like the 50s and the 60s. That was like her thing. So she didn't know about Playboy. And then
that
my dad actually, he had a fishing boat and we had kind of lost touch for a while. And when I went to visit him, he had my picture where I'm wearing like a motorcycle outfit that is in Playboy, and he had it framed in his boat. So he was proud of me.
That is so sweet. And he must have had the Playboys around, because how would you have gotten them at a young age when you were a teenager looking at them and knowing that that's what you wanted to do someday?
I think I went and bought them.
Oh, yeah?
I think at 18 I was probably buying them, because I was like, I want those boobs and I want that hair, that makeup. Like, I just like the
I did too.
Was then.
Yeah, but I was like 12 looking at all of those and thinking, oh, I hope I do get boobs. I hope that I grow up. I hope
right?
I get taller, you know. Yes,
yeah.
It's so funny how we've had these dreams for so long and then they come true. I'm getting chills because it is a dream come true, and there's not very many of us, and it's so special, and there's never going to be anything
right.
like it again.
And actually, I did some counting online. You know, one of the things that's considered to be an honor is to be a Navy SEAL. A Navy SEAL, because there's only
right.
not that many of them in the world. But it turns
mm-hmm.
out that there are more Navy SEALs than there are Playmates.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I dated a Navy SEAL once. He was super hot. He was an underwear model before that, or during, who knows. He sent me the underwear
yeah.
photo. I mean, just gorgeous, tall, 6'4". I mean, oh, just the specimen was.
Wow, you're
man.
Making me hungry right now.
And had, oh my gosh, had a Ducati and would pick me up on the back of the Ducati.
Wow.
And one time when he dropped me off, my ex-boyfriend saw that. And he later told
uh-oh.
Me, like 10 years later, how that made him super jealous.
Yeah.
It was a good moment. But I
love
it.
That.
Yes. And so for many years after, you were working, going to the Playboy Mansion, the parties. You never lived there, though, correct?
No.
Okay.
Didn't.
And okay, but what was your relationship like with Hess? Did you go? This was the time when he was going out. I remember 2003
mm-hmm.
to year 2000 around there. He even came to my birthday party at the St. James Club on Sunset Boulevard with the Bentley twins and Brandy. So
right.
I remember when the whole change
oh.
happened, where he was. When did you start going?
Yeah.
It was 2000. That was around 2000 when you were starting to go up there a lot. And were you going to the parties with him a lot, like when he went to the nightclubs outside of the mansion?
No, I had a really strange, like, my stigma for my work ethic was, like, not mixing business and pleasure. I just felt like, I kind of felt, like, empowered by that, because I felt like so many girls, when they move to L.A., they feel that they have to give so much of themselves to achieve something. And the men in Los Angeles really take advantage of the girls. So I kept my distance professionally for quite some time, and even with Hess. And then one day I was single, like, I don't know, many years later, probably like in 2010 or something. And I was like, you know what, I want to, like, go out with him and hang out with him. And he's like, hey, I'm going to Paris Hilton's birthday party. And if you want to come, like, come by the mansion and we'll all go together. And I was like, I just had the time of my life. We had a sleepover. He had, who was he dating then? I forget who. I just remember we were drinking champagne and eating grilled cheese sandwiches and watching The Girls Next Door after Paris' birthday party. And he was, like, drinking Jack and Cokes. And I had tons of fun that night. But for the most part, I was very, like, I didn't really go and, like, hang out. I would just
mm-hmm.
very
well, you had your own life
during that time.
Yeah. your life was going, you know, you didn't have a lot of time to just hang out and party at the mansion,
yeah.
I can imagine. Oh, but was this Jesse Metcalf, the soap opera actor that you were with that many years?
I was with him for about 4 years. And then I was with a magazine editor for like 4 years after that. I think Jesse
What magazine?
I think it was called LA Direct. It was like a local magazine. But I think Jesse actually, he got mad when I told him that I was doing Playboy. And then after I shot, I remember just coming home to like roses or something. But I kind of feel like we actually about it because he was couldn't handle it.
Well, if he was mad about that, was he mad about the phone call? Did he know that Hef was, you were in the kitchen at Jesse's house and you got this phone call from Hef. Did he know that you were on the phone with Hef?
That part is, I mean, my memory is, it's okay. So some parts of life I remember really well, and I don't remember the second part.
I get that. Wow, and I love your centerfold, by the way, because when we were talking about the centerfold, I forgot to tell you, this top that you had on, this chain top, it's very sexy, everybody. Okay. Go look at it, January 2004. I had one of those, and I shot in that, too. That is super sexy.
Ooh.
Did you love what they chose? Yeah. Did you love what they chose for you? And you obviously, they thought, oh, wow, perfect body, because they don't put much on somebody in their centerfold if they think that they're absolutely perfect, and that's not a lot on.
Oh, no, I hardly had anything on. Yeah. We were being kind of protective during that shoot, and for a lot of my pictures actually have clothes on, or they're quite like modest as compared to like other centerfolds, I feel like. So
That's interesting.
Yeah, I had a good time with it. I don't know. I mean, if you see the whole pictorial, you should definitely see some clothes on there too. Probably too much.
And that's what I don't have in front of me. I could log on to Playmates.com or Playboy.com. I don't know where they have everybody nowadays to see your layout. I don't know even if I have to pay now because they're taking away all of our subscriptions. I used to have to that. Thank goodness I collected all my photographs while I had the chance in large files.
You want to know something? Where I'm living right now, I'm in Northern California, kind of by Lake Tahoe. There is a store here, and it's like a big liquor store. And this guy literally has every Playboy magazine since the 50s.
Wow.
I mean,
is he selling them?
Yes. And I'm thinking, geez, I should probably buy that whole entire collection. It's literally like hundreds of magazines, right?
Oh, yeah. If he would let that go.
It's like, wow, so cool.
Be very expensive, but that is totally cool. We have a psychic on every Friday. She lives up in Tahoe. Johnny, we should have her go over and check out what they have on Barbara Moore.
Now, I know that you're into psychics too, Colleen. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
We
How
do
reading
free psychic readings. Oh, what was that?
I wish she was here tonight.
Well, you can call back on Friday because we have her every Friday, and she does free readings. Yes, and they're normally really expensive, so... Oh. Yeah, a lot of our guests call back. A lot of the Playmates we have interviewed call in because it's great. I mean, you get a really good reading. It's not a long reading because we have a lot of callers. Yeah. So we hope we hear from you.
And
Friday.
We have psychics on all the time. She's our regular one. And she is she's sort of like the Judge Judy. She talks like she sounds like Judge Judy. And,
she's world renowned. So that's cool. So hopefully that will happen on Friday. if you're available to call in. And you may be, because how far along are you in your pregnancy?
I am like in between 6 and 7 months. I'm having a Christmas baby.
So you're down.
Oh, wow. Is the due date right on Christmas?
December 21st.
Oh, perfect. So that'll be fun. Wow, that'll be the best Christmas gift ever, won't it?
Hey, you look like you've been having a lot of fun lately. I was looking at your pictures like last month, and you were just like out and about with a girlfriend, just really living it up. What's going on with you these days?
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for asking. I moved down to Huntington Beach about a year and a half ago, and I love it. The playmate that lives the closest that I'm close with is Shauna Sand, and she's down in San Diego right now. She'll drive up. Yeah, we hang out a lot, and it's fun. And Elkie Einstein, too. I don't know if you know her, Miss May 93. And because we make such good friends. So thanks for noticing.
Right.
You know, you always can rely on that playboy playmate friend to, you know, be there. And most of us have each other's back, like it's a sisterhood. Did you find that to be true?
I feel like, I mean, I'm very close with Brandy. Cool.
We had her on.
Brandy Waldrick. I love Brandy. Like, she's like a sister to me. But
she's wonderful.
Tina Jordan I love. There's definitely like a handful that I was able to like connect with and work with and really got like familiar with. But
and now are you with your husband living in Northern California with your family?
Yeah, we're actually about to move to Arizona. California is not really the best right now. As far as I'm concerned.
Oh.
I'm gonna go to Arizona.
What part of Arizona?
I'll probably be like around Scottsdale.
I lived in Arizona for a couple of years, and that actually was not for me. So I moved back to California.
Too hot, right?
For me, it was, yes. And plus, I just didn't have a life there. I didn't know anybody. I moved out there to get married. That fell through, and then I just stayed for a couple of years. But it's just, there was nothing there for me, and it was depressing. But I didn't have a husband and a new family that I was, you know, raising. So I had my daughter who was a tween, you know, it was just she and I. So there was nothing for me to build there. So I came back, but I wish you well going there. It was a nice place. I made a couple of really great friends. It's fine. You stay in when it's too hot, like Vegas.
Yeah, that's true.
And Vegas was hot. I lived there for a couple of years and absolutely loved it and enjoyed that thoroughly. So I wouldn't say I didn't live there because of the heat. It was just no life for me there, like no friends, nothing. I built, you know, when you live in Beverly Hills area for 25 years, 30 years, built a life there. That's your home. And I was homesick. I missed my home. Mm-hmm. And my home was California.
Yeah.
So that's that for me. Okay. But I wanted to ask you some questions about something I don't even know about. When you are chosen to be an anniversary playmate, like the 40th, I remember, and Marie Goddard was that. That was good for her. And the 50th, you. What are you supposed to do? Do you get $50,000? Do you get $100,000? What goes on? What's the contract?
It was $50,000 and the motorcycle, a really nice BMW motorcycle, actually. And then we had a gigantic party in New York with, like, Pamela Anderson, I think. Did you go?
Yes.
Yeah.
I will send you the picture of that, too. I'm going to send you that picture,
too.
He was standing right next to me, right next to Hef, and we were, you know, doing a cheer. And I think maybe you're in that photo. And there was a lot of people.
Yeah.
I was a jet bunny for that. Were you you because you were the 50th anniversary, or did you have a bunny costume on?
I never, No, I didn't. I was styled by Vivian Westwood, the designer. They had Playboy had her make a few like corsets for me. So that was how they dressed.
Oh, that's cool. I remember that was
and
an exciting
the
time.
Party.
They brought a lot.
Yeah. And then we
to
had
that
the party
for you
for the 50th anniversary. And I think Drew Carey was hosting with Jenny McCarthy, and then I just remember them like introducing me. I think it was televised, actually, the 50th anniversary.
I did that one too. I remember her. Yes, I walked into the. It was like in the foyer, and we started there. It was set up with the camera crew and everything. I walked in, and Jenny McCarthy's screaming, "Barbara!" And then half looked like, "What's going on?" I mean, it was so memorable. Wow, that sparked my memory.
Yeah.
I forgot what was I just there for with that, and now it clicked. I was there for your production. Wow, that they really started doing a lot more for the Playmates with the anniversary issues and events and things like that. And I also saw that you were at the Playboy Mansion and they had you DJing for something. Was that New Year's Eve or what party was that for?
I probably ended up doing maybe like half a dozen events. And for me, before I was a Playmate, when I went to the mansion, I'm like, if I could only DJ him, that would be my dream. Like, I couldn't even dream of being a Playmate and DJing there. So I've DJed like Halloween events, some Midsummer Night's Dreams. Definitely like
I remember. Yeah, I remember you up there doing that. That was cool.
Yeah,
and so you are a woman who has had a lot of dreams fulfilled, and that is a wonderful life. And now you're on this new chapter, having babies and enjoying that, which is wonderful.
It is.
Were you saying something, Johnny?
I'm telling you.
I didn't say anything.
Oh.
No.
Sorry, Colleen.
I'm actually working 10 times harder now on work stuff than even before now that I'm a mom. Like, I'm actually doing, I'm drafting like a cartoon book where my son is a DJ. It's called DJ Boy. And it's like a little cartoon book, and I'm writing a couple of other books, like a memoir.
Cool.
So I probably have a book coming out next, next spring. So that's going to be pretty wild. So I've been writing it for like 5 years.
Wow, is this your memoir?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's going to be great. Hey, you guys, everybody, let's feature your book in our Life After Happiness book club. I just started.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would love that.
So when it comes out, I want to do that. So we'll have you on again. You'll talk about the book. We'll tell everybody where they can find it. We'll read it. We'll have a blog. We'll put it on the Facebook Life After Happiness podcast blog.
Nice.
Yeah. And it'll be a promotion, plus it will be enjoyable as well. And I wanted to do a little shout out now that everybody can know where to find you. DJColleenShannon.com. Is that where you want to send everybody?
Yeah, they can go to my website, and they can also go to Instagram. I'm on quite a bit. It's DJColleenShannon.
Yes.
And everything is pretty much DJ Colleen Shannon. My Twitter is DJColleen50. And Facebook is DJ Colleen Shannon.
Okay, awesome. Well, everybody check that out. Do you still have the motorcycle they gave you?
Well, it's so weird. I was like so afraid of motorcycles at that time in my life. And now I'm older. This is what, like 20 years later, and I sold the motorcycle, but I'm thinking about getting my motorcycle license in this next year, which is so weird for me because I've been super against them my whole life. And I'm like, yeah, I think I kind of want to ride on a motorcycle. So I might be getting myself a motorcycle.
I've not That's good. I have not met one playmate who has ever kept the car or motorcycle that they were given from the Playboy experience. I want to find one that actually kept it. Do you wish that you would have kept that?
You know, something that I wish I would have kept is when I moved to LA before I was a playmate, I had a classic car. It was a 1950 Chevy Fastback. And it had a dual exhaust with a flame kit, so it shot flames out of the back. But the irony of being the 50th anniversary playmate and previously buying a 1950 Chevy, I want to buy that car again. Like, I would love to have that car. Maybe make, like, a whole Playboy car out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. And it's like the stars were aligned when you were saying earlier about how it just wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right timing. Well, the timing came to be right because all of these things just like lead to 50th anniversary. And that's amazing. But I understand what you're talking about with the motorcycle because I was given a motorcycle too when I did a movie with Charlie Sheen. And there was a motorcycle on set. And I loved it because it was blue. I loved Harleys. I'm an all-American girl. And he's like, do you want it? And I said, yes. And he sent it to me with the title and everything. And I had it for so many years. And I was too afraid to ride it, too. But I had it for when my dad would visit or my brother. It was there, and it was beautiful. Little Sportster. And then I sold it.
Ooh.
Like when I got pregnant, I just thought, okay, it's just one more thing to keep up. So I wish I had that, Jill. And it's so weird. I feel like I would do what you're doing. I would take the lessons and actually write it now in my life now.
Yeah, me too. Maybe we should get some motorcycles next year and have like a bunny ride.
Yeah.
Put some little bunny tails on
together.
The tailpipe.
I don't want you to move to Arizona. Let's have some fun in California.
Girl, don't tempt me. I'm from Alaska. I'm not looking forward to the heat of Arizona.
I know. That's what I was thinking. And me, I'm from Seattle. So, yeah, that climate is just not normal. I don't know why people ever, like, settled there. Like, why did they even say, okay, let's stop here? I don't get it. But they did. Wow. Well, what other things do you like doing? Do you like watching sports? Are you into? Oh, that's what I saw. You were DJing for the Super Bowl at the mansion one year.
Yes. That was such a fun year.
Mm-hmm. I love the Super Bowl parties at the mansion.
I used to be able to bring like 10 people. So I brought my brother and his girlfriend and like a bunch of friends and, I just remember, I think my brother just jumped right in the grotto. Like, he was having the time of his life. He couldn't even believe he was at the Playboy Mansion. And that was the fun part. It was like bringing your friends and family there.
And watching them enjoy it. I know I got to bring my brother up there one time. It wasn't wild back then in the beginning. You know, when Hef was still married to Kimberly, I saw the whole family atmosphere, and that's when my family got to go up there. My brother probably would have liked it more wild and fun, but it was so great because I brought my dad and my mom up there. It was mellow. It was hardly anybody was going up there. It was like for a Sunday night dinner party and movie. And then my mom was just so comfortable with me being a part of Playboy because she saw that side of it, and she sat next to Tony Curtis, which was her, you know, idol when she was a teenager. And here she's having dinner with and sitting next to him. Oh, my gosh. That just changed everything for her when she got a taste of it. That was so cool. I love that Hef was, like, a family man, too. And what was so good about it is that he understood that it was so important. The playmates, they get older. They have babies. And those children mean a lot to them. And he would do things for us. Like the Easter, it was so amazing. And I wish that was, he was still alive and was still doing that. And, you know, your children could go up there. Sad.
I know. It was amazing. It was an amazing place. The first time I went there, Elizabeth Taylor walked right by me.
Wow.
So it's like the respect that has everyone in show business and entertainment to these small town girls and making their dreams come true. It's like such a beautiful like enterprise that he built. Like people want to know like how was he? Was he like personable? Was he a cool guy? Like even still to this day, everybody wants to know. Like wishes they could have a conversation with him.
They really do want to know. They all ask me that too. So when you did the 50th, that was your actual centerfold. Were you on the cover as well? I don't have it in front of me.
No, they had just done a black cover with a big gold 50 on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
I think I remember that.
Internationally, they did about 30 other magazine covers where I was on the cover, like throughout different countries.
Oh, yes. Okay, so then you got your cover feel with that, I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like smart. They wanted you on the cover. I mean, that is a little bit of a letdown, kinda. Or were you okay with it?
I was okay with it because it's such a like collector's edition that then it started out like the story starts out when you open it up with Marilyn Monroe being the first, who's like a super idol of mine. So it goes from Marilyn Monroe to all the women leading up to the 50th. So I was honored to be part of that. I wasn't bothered that
no
picture was on the cover of that. No.
Okay. That's good. I would have been happy. Okay, so who shot your centerfold?
I shot with both. It was Steve and Arnie, so I did 1 week with each.
Oh, that's cool.
Very different photographers.
They are. I shot with
like
both of them,
Steven,
but not...
Did you?
Go ahead.
Steven Waiter is kind of like plays on a sexual feeling. This was my experience. He was like very sexual, and Arnie is very technical, like with the lights and the posing and stuff like that. And Steven was really trying to get it out of me, and I don't think I was budging that much for him. So we had a little bit of tension on set for sure.
Wow, maybe that is why. Maybe that's why they got... They felt that energy, so then they toned it down a little bit for you because you were saying that, you know, they had a lot of clothes on you besides your centerfold. Maybe he's the one that shot the actual centerfold then because, you know, that's pretty sexual.
That was Arnie.
I loved him.
The centerfold. Yeah, I love Arnie too. I think Steven was, like, really into the models and, like, probably... I mean, he was definitely hitting on me, to say the
least.
Wow. And it was, there got to be a time, like, at the very end of the week where he was so frustrated with me that he just kept pressing the button and was, like, not really shooting. Because he was really trying to be like, here, have some champagne, have some chocolate. Like, this is like, I was like, I was kind of feeling Arnie's style, just because I was, like, very much into my profession back then and being, like, a strong-headed, like, woman.
Wow.
So I don't really
liked
that
you.
Kind of approach.
No, and I've never heard that. Wow, so that was different because I just didn't get that experience at all. I shot everything with Steve, and I didn't have that experience. And then I shot with Arnie for other things. It was good to know Arnie because he worked for Snap-on Tools and all these other, like, I got this poster, the Langsky poster, and the year
Ooh.
Before, I guess it was 2 years before, it was Pamela Anderson. So that was, like, iconic thing to do.
Yes.
And that was because of him. Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I remember those photos. Those were some sexy photos.
Oh, thank you. Well, that means a lot to me. When the younger playmates come along and then they like my stuff, that, thank you. I mean, that makes me feel good.
Oh, of course.
Yes. Okay, good.
The
Go ahead, Johnny. Do you have a question? You're not asking hardly anything.
No, I mean, I was just listening to the view. I mean, it's great. I mean, I think that what I love about all this is the nostalgia. That means it's still, to them, it's like, this is such a very powerful thing. There are actually some women out there who like look at Playboy Playmates and then they're like, oh my God, I want to go look for those magazines. I want to be this lady. And, I've had lots of women on the shows who were telling me that they couldn't wait until they became a teenager. I think another one was Helena Antonaccia told me that she couldn't wait to get older and become a teenager and grow breasts. You know, that's what she said.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I just wanted to be a woman. I remember that too. I just wanted to be a woman. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be free. I didn't want to be at home. I wanted to just have my own life. And it happened better than I could imagine too. I want to know though, how do you feel about later on when the Playmates kind of changed after a while when they didn't like do much with the centerfold as far as styling, not even much makeup, not much hair, not a lot going on. What did you think about that, and did you even notice?
Oh yeah, I'm like, I'm so into photography. I could see what they were doing was Huff was stepping out a little bit more as far as like his opinion, and they thought that Maxim was their number one competition, so they tried to start like getting more like a Maxim type of girl. And not sticking with, like, the Playboy image, which I think was a big mistake.
Me too. I really did.
Once Huff's opinion was kind of, like, on the back burner and they tried to take it a different direction, I feel like Playboy just started its slope, like, then.
Well, you know, it's
I feel like we
because...
hit it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I mean, like, a girl like you and a girl like Barbara seem that they're approachable, you know, sort of like the girl like Maxim. I think what Maxim does is they paint this image of this woman that's, like, not living a real life, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Well,
we're
the girl
next door. The girl next door, for sure.
Yeah.
The sexy girl next door.
Yes. Yes. I agree, and I agree with that. The fun thing about mm-hmm. looking at a centerfold is looking at all the details and the set and the outfit. It's just really fun. And then when those came along, and I remember when one, all she had in her centerfold was a lit cigarette, and I thought, what? What kind of message is that?
That's a pretty long one.
I wouldn't want that. This is something we have to carry around for the rest of our life. And I just wouldn't want that. I bet, you know what? I bet she was on a break.
Yeah.
She was having a cigarette. And they're like, hold it right there. And they used it. And I didn't like it.
No, I
it was
would
a bad
not
message.
I would love that one either.
Mm-mm.
Well, smoking used to be really popular.
It used
weird.
To be, but that was like that was one of the last ones that I remember in one of the last Playmate Centerfold books. Do you have one of those, the complete Centerfold edition, and it goes to?
I need to collect them. I really need to collect them because I probably had hundreds of copies of the 50th, and I gave them all away. I think I only have like two copies right now. My own.
Oh yeah,
I would like to do a little collection.
Mine burned down. Did you know there was a fire and a lot
mm-hmm.
of the 90s issues were burned up, and that's why I don't even have many. I mean, they used to give tons. Shauna, I go, oh my gosh, I went over to her place. She had a huge stacks of her issue, and I thought, what? How'd you get that? I go, no, mine are not available, and they would give me a lot, but they all burned up. And she was in the 90s, but I guess it was more like around my year, and that was really too bad. So I just go, I buy mine for, you know, very low, $10 or something on Amazon, and then I sell it for a lot more signed. And that's just what I've been doing for years now. Yeah, I've had to do that for years, though.
Do you still have your Playmate necklace?
Yes.
I lost mine a couple times with all the
traveling.
Well,
I did too.
I
had to pay for it, and it was just $100. They say those are real diamonds,
mm-hmm.
but they're very small little diamonds. And I had to get another one from James Gonis at Playmate Promotions. Mm-hmm. But since then, I never did lose another one. Can you get another? Can you get one?
That's what I'm wondering. Do you know?
Should try. I
yeah.
don't know. But
I
don't even know the people there anymore. I don't know,
yeah.
you know, who I, as a Playmate, is my connection there. I just don't know. It's changed so much now. It's just all digital. It's just different people are there. Do you ever talk to anybody at Playboy anymore?
No, but, you know, as a legacy that he left, I wish that one of his sons kind of would have, like, taken over and kept the vision going. It makes me kind of sad.
I think he did try, and he was having a lot of issues with dealing with the board of directors, other people on the board. If Hess would have gone out with a lot more money, it would have been better. But I'm so glad that he stuck in there and kept that magazine alive as long as he did, because I just am glad that it was around for many years. And, I mean, it's still there, but it's all digital. I want to get one of those Playmates on and ask her about how she feels. And you know, I'm sure she's done her investigating, and she knows how it used to be, and she didn't live it, but she has an idea, and I wonder how she's feeling about, okay, her timing, because for you and me, we had it still. Hef was alive. We had the perfect centerfolds all styled. We were treated differently. We,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't even think that they're making as much money as we did.
Yeah. Yeah, it did pay quite nice.
I have one more question.
Okay.
Go ahead. Okay, I wanted to know, because when things changed to the digital age, did you guys get, like, a lot of followers? I mean, I have to remember back in 2004, it still wasn't the social media craze back then, was it? But I do notice that the new Playmates... Oh, yeah, MySpace, right.
MySpace.
You got a
yeah,
lot of followers right away.
I think I had like 400,000 back then
yeah.
on
right
MySpace.
Right off the bat, right
off
the bat.
Then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't have any of that in the early 90s. So it was kind of, you know, left up to us to then promote our own selves, you know, after a while, because we didn't have the social media numbers, and it wasn't even existing at that time. So I just wanted to see if that was different for you, because it seems like that would really help to get more work and make more money. The more people that know about you, the better. Did you know that a lot of us didn't have that, or did you ever think about that?
No, I didn't really translate that into thinking about stuff like that, because –
mm-hmm.
You know, then it was like, those were the days when people would drive to a magazine stand and buy your magazine. Like, that was the whole Playboy kind of faded in the end, is because people with their cell phones these days, or smartphones, nobody needs to go buy a magazine because you could see everything you want on your smartphone or your computer.
That's true. And did they still have all of the special editions? Because they had a lot of extra magazines that we could shoot for. Did you shoot a lot for the different ones, like Bathing Beauties, The Wet and Wild, Playmates in Bed, Playmates in Lingerie? I mean, the list goes on, right?
Yeah, no. I went on to this work. I just used that as a platform for, like, mainstream work. I didn't do any of the other special edition ones.
Wow. So that is a great story, because you had a dream to be a DJ and a Playmate. You got Playmate, and it just catapulted you out there. And you're known as a couple of things. You're known as the world's sexiest DJ. And I saw best female DJ, too, which
you know, it's not even about how you look. It's about your talent as a DJ, best female DJ. That is a good title. And what else? Yeah, World's Sexiest DJ. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was kind of, I never really quite got that one, but just because I believed in DJing, like the art of it, so much more than using that type of marketing tool. But at the end of the day, it's just, it was a marketing tool and a, you know, it went hand in hand and it worked quite well for quite some time.
Kind of hard to hide, isn't it?
Really,
kind of hard to
like,
hide Playboy.
About it. Yeah, I was always shy about it when people were like, oh, the World's Sexiest DJ. I was like, it always made me feel a little bit awkward, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because you feel like, okay, I'm the one saying that, but you weren't. You, somebody else gave you that title. So that's,
yeah.
It wasn't you saying,
yeah,
hey,
exactly.
I am the sexiest one.
No,
<Yeah.
laughs> that was why it would always make me feel like a little bit shy, because like that would be something else if I just walked in there with the, like, had that kind of attitude, which is, it's not me. I'm a lot different than, you know, people would presume, like in photos or what have you.
I know, and we're seeing that today. I mean, I'm seeing it too, talking to you more. You are so humble, you're so sweet and soft-spoken, and maybe I would not even imagine you being that way, because I see on YouTube and you're, you know, behind and you're getting the whole crowd going, and I would just maybe imagine something different. So that's why I love doing these interviews, because people see, okay, who is this person? We're going to find out what makes them tick. And we found out a lot about you, a lot that I didn't even know. But, oh, this is so important. Where can we get your music? Because I want one of your playlists.
Oh, you know what? I am getting ready to do a collaboration with a really up-and-coming, like, great singer. Her name is Baby Goss. And that's going to be releasing within the next, like, 5 months. She's worked with, like, Wiz Khalifa and some other really great artists. But my existing music is on, like, SoundCloud and Apple Music and iTunes. You can hear some of my stuff there. I did my first album with Sony Records. I think I did an album with Sony 2010. And then I did another, it's all online, probably Amazon too.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's the major.
So everybody, go to DJColleenShannon.com, and I'm sure that you will be led to your playlist and where to find them all. And I've listened to them, by the way. I remember years ago, a friend of mine, Adriano Costa, said, oh, do you know Colleen Shannon? And I go, I know of her. And he said, she's a good friend of mine. And then I always since then, like, made a note to, you know, look for you and see what you were doing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you know him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing DJ, right?
Okay.
Is he a DJ?
No. I mean, I don't know, but he's kind of in that world, but he's a chef. Like, he has a van, like a truck, you know, a food truck thing, and he's a chef inside with these amazing sandwiches and everything. I'm just really good friends with his mom, who was a Playboy bunny in the 70s. My brother was actually dating her, so it's like kind of a small story how things happen and who you meet, and we've had her on the show too. And I interview a lot of the bunnies. And I was wondering, were you a bunny? Did you do bunny events, or was that not a thing because you were busy with your DJing?
Yeah, I didn't. I actually did not do that.
I love those costumes.
Because I was, like, off with, I never got a bunny suit, which kind of, it was more my manager's decision than mine. But we really tried to, like, do Playboy stay, like, very mainstream and not get swept up in, like, the Playboy world for my full career.
No, I understand.
If that makes sense.
I totally understand. Because you were more like a celebrity playmate that, you know, you're not going to be doing just the the trivial, normal, you know, little event like that. I get it. I totally get it. Okay, cool. Wow. Well, we have gone over. Oh, we've gone over 20 minutes. So thank you for staying on longer. I didn't even notice.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
And Johnny, did you ask all your questions?
I sure did.
Okay, good.
Oh, thank you guys so much. Really,
well, you are welcome.
I'm excited about the future, so thank you for
Celine,
the time.
Celine, mm-hmm. would you like to call in Friday? Are you going to call in Friday?
Yes, like what kind of stuff does she talk about?
As long as you
just have a question. You just have a question. Think of a question about something you want to know about your future. Yeah, just, you know, specific question that you want to know about your future. And she'll give you about a little over 5 minutes and a quick free reading. And it's fun and it's exciting. And, you know, maybe there's something that you want to know about coming up in your life. Or, you know what? No, you cannot talk to a passed away person, can she, Johnny, with Dale?
Yes, she can. But you could ask her.
Yeah, if you want to talk to a passed away person. She has some medium skills as well. So that would be cool if you
Very
did.
Very cool.
Yeah. Okay, just hold on for one second. I'm going to do the shout out so everybody knows where to find you and us. So, and then we'll close the show. First of all, we just want to thank Colleen Shannon so much. Miss January 2004. And Playboy's 50th anniversary playmate. Go check her out. Go to DJColleenShannon.com and go buy some of her music. And we're excited about her book coming out in April. And lots going on. And your new bundle of joy coming around Christmas time. You got a lot of things to look forward to. So you can listen to this show again. If you got on late, it'll be up on our YouTube channel, Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube. Follow us there. And we have a new channel, a TV channel. You can find that on Roku, Life, Laughter, Happiness. We're loading that up with some fun stuff as well. Plus, all of my, well, and Johnny's Playboy Playmate interviews are up there, right, Johnny? You've been putting them up there.
Well, actually, the Playboy Playmate interviews are going to be put up there, but they're going to be put on your channel, Barbara, not on mine. Yeah, I'm saving them for, I should say something, Colleen. I am building Barbara a channel down the road, and maybe in a couple of months, and I want to have all of the Playmate series on Barbara's channel. And so, you know, she can be creative, you know, at an individual level. She's really excited about it. So, you know, do you have Roku, Colleen?
No, but I will get that.
Okay.
You'll love it. I think it's the best streaming platform you can have. So that's good. And then follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Colleen has a very big presence on Instagram, so make sure you follow her as well. And that is it. We had a great show. Thank you for spending this hour and 23 minutes with us. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I appreciate. Thank you, guys.
Well, you
thank
go. Good night,
you.
Colleen. Good night, Barbara.
Okay.
Good night,
okay,
Johnny.
Good night,
Colleen.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody. Bye.